I'm at Richard Gunther. Nope, I'm not. He is. He's Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. Wow. Welcome to episode 413 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment Technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms.
Richard, last week we did the show in under an hour. I think we might be able to do it again, maybe.
Oh, I'm convinced we're going to be able to do it again, unless we get into some big debate over my generous opinions about Windows 10 on tablets.
Ooh, that should be an interesting conversation near the end of the show.
And by generous, I mean generous helping.
Yeah. So, but we're not there yet. We are at the part of the show where we talk about listener feedback. We have one piece of listener feedback that came into us through Twitter, but that's not the most common way of getting a hold of us. Most people will just shoot us an email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. But Richard, our friend Carl sent you a message on Twitter. What did it say?
He did. He said that this was regarding my crazy mixed up trying to connect my receiver to all the different things and get the sound going in all the different directions. And he said, my TV can pass 5.1 with audio return channel. So I connect TiVo directly to it and use the AV receiver's TV input. The input sticks and no longer switches randomly. So if you may remember, I was having problems with my CEC, my HDMI CEC, the consumer electronic control capability of HDMI, switching away from my TiVo and automatically going back to the TV. This is a great solution. Plug the TiVo into the TV and then use the audio return channel from the TV into the receiver for your audio from the TiVo. I don't know why I didn't think of that. And I think this is something I'm going to try because I don't have anything on that TiVo that requires anything more than 5.1 audio. So thank you very much, Carl. This is a great suggestion. I'm going to give this a try probably over the holiday weekend.
Well, does Carl have the same TV that you do? Because I don't think all TVs support 5.1 over audio return channel.
Oh, I know mine does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know mine does. My old one did not, but the new one does. So
yeah, I would kind of hope that a fairly new OLED would support 5.1 over ARC.
Right.
Well, cool. Give that a try. And you're using Harmony anyway, so it's just a matter of reprogramming your Harmony a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I shouldn't really have to reprogram it all that much. I should really just have to take the receiver switch out of the equation and let it do itself automatically. So we'll see if that works.
Yeah, cool. So we'll look forward to hearing from you, Richard, in a couple weeks' time. Cool.
Yep.
All righty. So let's move on to our news for this week. And we're actually going to start with audio news. Not because it's the biggest news, but because there's not any video news. But this is kind of big because it's about Spotify, and you and I are big, big, big Spotify fans. We're also big, big Xbox One users, and I'm pretty sure in the past we've talked about an Xbox One app called Spotacast, although to call it an Xbox One app is doing it a little bit of a disservice because it's more than just an Xbox One app. It's a Windows 10 UWP, so this works on Windows 10. This works on Windows 10 PCs also, but I've got the regular Spotify app to use on my PC. What I need is Spotify on my Xbox One. So that's where this really comes in. And Spotacast has a new version. It's version 4.0. And the main feature in this version is that they've completely redone the UI specifically on the Xbox side. So what they've done here is, well, yeah, redone the whole UI, and it looks way, way better. It makes way more sense on the Xbox, you know, on your TV. They've made sure that if you're using a controller, it's really easy to get from, you know, each area of the screen to jump around to various places. They've thrown in some button shortcuts. So like, no matter what screen you're on, if you're listening to music and you press the X button, it pops up the now playing screen. If you press X again, it pops it back down to the bottom. The remote, you know, the media remote control still works for everything. Gone is the hamburger menu. It's kind of got a top mounted navigation screen. I think it works pretty well. I really didn't have any major issues when using this app. It by default gives you access to, the home screen shows lots of like genre options and popular playlist and things like that. It shows, yeah, I mean, it's basically the popular stuff and the genres. And then you've got an option for, I think it's labeled as My Music, where you can find your playlist, like all of your playlist, including like your, I think it's called Discover Weekly. That one is there. Unfortunately, your daily playlist, I think is what Spotify calls them, those don't show up. And I love those. Those are the ones that I use the most. They're not there, but that's okay. The app has the ability to download tracks, which is probably more useful on a PC than on an Xbox, because my Xbox is always connected. But if you have downloaded tracks, then those will show up in another navigation section. And then the other interesting thing is the ability to connect to other devices. So there's a Spotify Connect thing built into most Spotify apps that'll allow you to control Spotify running on another device. This is really useful for, say, running Spotify on an app that's on something that's connected to your TV, like maybe an Android TV box or something like that, and control it from your phone. It looks like it works on some devices. Like my TV showed up and my Nvidia Shield showed up in the list, and my PC showed up in the list also. But so you can control from Spotacast, but what didn't work is controlling Spotacast from other devices, at least not for my PC.
Is that supposed to work?
I don't know. I didn't read through all of their change log notes and stuff, because there's a lot of updates, but that would be really nice if it did, because from the Windows app, I can control some other devices. Like I can control Spotify running on my Nvidia Shield from the Windows PC, but not Spotacast. So it's not a huge deal, but it would have been nice.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. It's funny because I really just end up, now that I have Spotify built into my receiver, and it's built in a way that it includes video, then I don't really, like, my barrier to being able to toss stuff from my phone to the entertainment center is gone. It's just crazy easy. It'll just automatically switch for me. So I love that. And it would be interesting if they can get this to a point that you could do the same and then also be able to control it from your other devices.
Yeah. And my TV, you know, I've got a Vizio M series from last year, so it's got Chromecast built in. So I can do all of this essentially through Chromecast from my phone to my TV, and it'll automatically switch to the Chromecast input and stuff. But there's nothing to make it automatically jump back to the Xbox, which is what everybody else would use.
Right.
So I haven't showed Jen how to do this, because she wouldn't do it she would do it so infrequently that she might not remember how to get back to the Xbox and stuff, because she never has to do anything to get back to that. Yep. And I don't have a Harmony. So that's kind of an issue. That's So it would be, it's nice for me. And if I'm being honest, like controlling Spotacast from my PC is just something that I would do anyway. Jen wouldn't do that either. So overall, I think this app looks really good. It's not free, but it does have a free trial. You get a 1-day free trial. And if you've done the free trial in the past, no problem. Every time they release a new version, the free trial starts over again, which is really, really awesome. Like, I've never heard of another app doing that in the past, but for Spotacast, they do, so that you can always check out the new features. And then if you want to use it for more than the 1-day free trial, it's $9.99, which is a little bit pricey, but it's not horrible. Like, if you're going to use, right. If you want to use Spotify on an Xbox, it's not like you have many options. And if you're a big time Spotify user, then it's probably worth $10. So give Spotacast a try on your Xbox and let us know what you think.
This is interesting. The only thing that concerns me is the only screens that are in this post that we're referencing, and we'll have a link in the show notes. One of them is basically a visual representation of your queue, and mm-hmm. what appears to be a close box, like a box with an X in it, smack dab in the center of the screen at the top. Who puts that there?
Ever.
Like, that just doesn't belong there.
Are you talking about the X button that's right next to the word Q?
Yep.
So the way it does look a little weird, and essentially what that's doing is this screen is the now playing screen.
Okay.
Now, when you're not on the screen, you get a small sliver that goes across the bottom, and it fills up the whole bottom section of the app while you're doing anything else. Okay. So you can always arrow down to it or hit X, and it pulls this up. And it does it like it's popping up a drawer, essentially.
Okay.
And the X button on the gamepad will open and close that really quickly and really easily. But if you're using a remote, you need a way to close it. So they added a close button up there. I agree. It does look a little weird.
Yeah, it's really weird. There's got to be a better way. Anyway, we're getting nitpicky, but like that's the first thing that I see on this screen. And I'm like, do these people not know how to design like common patterns in any okay. And I don't want to get mean about it, but that just strikes me as really, really weird. So hopefully they'll also refine this a little bit over time.
Well, these guys are making updates so frequently, I'm sure it'll get some updates. I mean, they're already on version 4, and this app hasn't been out that long, like less than a year, I think, maybe a year-ish, but 4 major versions in a year, that's pretty stinking fast.
That's pretty good. All right, good stuff. All right, let's move on, and we'll move on to gaming next, and let me kick us off with our July Games with Gold, because this is the part of gaming that I'm familiar with. Free digital stuff that I can hoard
and never play, which frankly, like, you may never play these games, but little secret, I almost never play them either.
So we have, as we expected, new games for July. And in the first half of July for the Xbox 360, you can get Kane and Lynch 2. Do you know anything about this game?
Yeah. I believe it's first person shooter. I never played either of the Kane and Lynch games. They were fairly popular. They're big, you know, because it's two main characters. They're really designed around the idea of playing with, you know, going through the campaign in co-op mode with a friend.
Yeah.
Which I generally love. Like, that's how I enjoy playing most games. I just never got around to Kane and Lynch. But these were generally well received. Although last night, when I was surfing Twitter, I saw our friend Marcus Lyons was commenting on these free games, and he said that Kane and Lynch 2 is probably a game you can just skip. So apparently he didn't think it was all that great.
Okay. All right. That's fair. Well, and also up then, in July, for the entire month of July on the Xbox One, is Grow Up. And this is going to be available for the whole month, like I said. But remember, that first one that we were talking about is only available for the first half. But you can get both of these probably the day after or 2 days after you're listening to this episode. Grow Up looks pretty cool. I didn't know anything about this, but this looks kind of... Well, I think the visuals are really interesting, and that's always what kind of gets my attention. And it looks like the concept is that you're like this robotic thing, and you're exploring the galaxy in your, quote, parental spaceship. So a spaceship that basically has like a parental, you have a parental relationship with, and that spaceship kind of gets blown up, and then together with the pieces of the spaceship, you go and explore. Looks kind of cool. Looks interesting.
I had never heard of this game. It's an indie game. And I'm looking at the screenshots of it, and I have absolutely no idea how this game works.
Well, yeah, I can't figure out. And I mean, it's hard to look at these screens and understand like what kind of game this is in terms of mechanics.
Yes. So I can tell you what kind of game it is. It's the free kind, so you might as well just download it.
So just get it. All right. So next up, in the latter half of July, we have two new offerings also on the Xbox 360, Lego Pirates of the Caribbean. This is awesome. I love this concept. I didn't even know that this existed. So this is a 360 title, so it means it's only available for the second half of the month, and then it won't be available after the end of July. So you can get that. And then also from July 16th through the middle of August on the Xbox One is Runbo. And I know nothing about this game.
This was another one that I knew nothing about. I don't think it's out yet. I think this is another one of those instances where you're not only getting a game for free, you're getting a brand new game for free. So the Xbox Wire article, I'm only going to read like the first sentence of the paragraph, says it's a fast-paced party action game with a never-before-seen color mechanic. So party games are fun, and it's free. So again, check it out. Why not?
All right.
Cool. So let's move on. We've also got deals with Gold and Spotlight sale again this week. I really, really thought that this week would be the summer sale, but I can never remember when the big summer sale is, but it ain't this week. According to some people on Reddit, it's usually over 4th of July timeframe, so apparently it's probably next week. There's not a lot of good stuff here. You've got Overcooked, which I've recommended many times in the past, but it's not the Overcooked Gourmet Edition, which is the one with all the extra DLC and stuff, so it's not... Like, it's still a great game, but the Gourmet Edition will probably go on sale during the summer sale. So I might say wait, but it is a lot of fun. One game that I did want to recommend that is on sale this week, it's the indie game that I've been the most into this year, and that is a game called Shyness: The Lightning Kingdom. I bought this on PC, and it's on sale right now. It's normally a $30 game on Xbox One, and it's also on PlayStation and Steam. I've been playing it on PC through Steam. On Xbox, it's down to $22.49. Guys, this is like a 30-ish hour plus long action RPG. I really, really like this game. I've talked about it a lot in the past. If you've got a gaming PC, though, it's even cheaper during the Steam summer sale that's going on right now. I think it's $17 or $18 on Steam. So either way, I think that if you're into role-playing games, especially ones that have unique combat mechanics, this is basically like a fighting game every time you get in a battle. It's really cool, and you should check it out. So again, that's Shyness, S-H-I-N-E-S-S, The Lightning Kingdom. And everything else is just okay.
In Josh's opinion.
Exactly.
And there isn't anywhere near as much this time as there has been in the past weeks. Now, these are good through, what, the 3rd of July, right?
Correct, yeah. It usually goes Tuesday to Monday.
All right. Well, I wanted to revisit some conversation that we had about the Xbox One X. Actually, over the weekend, I was attending a six-year-old's birthday party, and like is usually the case at an event like that, the parents all kind of huddle together for security, and we ended up talking about some tech. And one of the things that one of the guys was asking me about was the new Xbox One X and what I thought about it, whether it was worth waiting or if he should just get the One S. And just in the last couple days, I noticed this article about how very recently, like, again, I think it was like at the end of last week or something, Microsoft confirmed that, in fact, the only way you're going to be able to play 4K capable games in real 4K, not scaled 4K, is with the Xbox One X. And that the Xbox One S, while it will be able to play the games, will not take advantage of the 4K video. It will just upscale the high definition video to 4K. And I know that we had this conversation when we talked about the One X just like 2 weeks ago, Josh. And for some reason, I thought you were going to be able to. And apparently, lots of other people thought you were going to be able to as well if they felt they needed to clarify this.
Yeah, I didn't feel like this needed to be clarified. Like, you're not going to be playing Forza Motorsport 7 in 4K 60 frames per second on an Xbox One S. It's not going to happen. This didn't seem like it needed to be clarified, because a year ago when Microsoft announced the Xbox One S, they said, yes, it outputs 4K, but for video. Like, this doesn't do 4K gaming. The part that I find really confusing about this clarification, yep, a clarification leads to more confusion.
Welcome to Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly. They've been saying for months that one of the benefits to the Xbox One X is, even if you don't have a 4K TV, it would essentially, I'm going to use the wrong words here probably, but render the game at 4K and then super sample it down to 1080p to make it look even better on a 1080p TV, even though you don't have 4K.
Okay.
For it to do that, wouldn't it need the 4K assets? Oh, wait. Oh, no, no, no.
You're confusing things here.
I figured it out. A light bulb went off in my head as I was explaining the problem.
Right.
This will totally work because the 4K assets will download because you have an Xbox One X.
Exactly. And so the clarification that they made, to be specific about it, is that the ability to play 4K games is reliant on the console, not the TV.
Right.
So if you want 4K video, even though you have a 4K TV hooked up to your Xbox One S, you're only going to get upscaled high definition gaming. And on the Xbox One X, you'll get 4K video either in true 4K if you have a 4K TV, or scaled down, basically super sampled, for your HDTV.
Right. So there's a couple of benefits sort of depending on what situation you're in. If you've got the Xbox One original or the Xbox One S and you're thinking, this thing's only got a 500 gig hard drive, I don't need it filling up even faster with all these 4K assets, not to fear, because it's not going to download them for you. So I guess that's good. But if you've got an Xbox One X and a 1080p TV, it's still going to download all those things, but it'll still be of benefit to you because of the super sampling. So there you go. Okay, so let's move on. I have been thinking a lot about the Xbox One X and trying to figure out, you know, because I've had numerous people come up to me and say, so what do you think of the One X? You getting one? I don't know. I still haven't made up my mind, and I suppose that's okay because it's not out yet, so I don't need to make up my mind yet. You can't even pre-order it yet. So, like we had said before, it's a lot of money. It's $500. There's a lot of things you can do with $500. One of those things I could do is upgrade my PC that I do play games on. But there have been quite a few articles in the last couple of weeks since E3 came out from establishments trying to figure out, can you build a computer that will play games at 4K for $500? And PC World did one of these articles, and theirs was probably the best. And they went all in to try to match the Xbox One X as much as possible, including they had a version of their test build that included a 4K UHD Blu-ray drive, which there aren't many options for that on the PC space right now. And I think, I want to say it was like $200 just for that drive. Of course, you don't need that if you're building a gaming PC, because you're getting all of your games digitally. You're not going to be getting them off of a disc somewhere. But they wanted to make it as comparable as possible. What it really comes down to is, what about the processor? What about the RAM? And most importantly, what about the GPU? And spoilers, you can't do it. Like, you're not going to build a gaming PC that can play games at the same performance as an Xbox One S. An Xbox One X. Yikes, I'm doing it now. For anywhere close to $500. Their closest one, I think, was $600 or $700. I think it was $700. And their target was 4K at 30 frames per second, which, that's probably going to be fairly common. But Forza Motorsport 7 runs at 60 frames per second at 4K. So they couldn't even do it at half the frame rate, which, like, if you want high quality gaming, the fact that you're not getting, like, that the Xbox One X is a huge, huge bargain is a really big, you know, chip in its corner for sure.
Yep.
But my PC could still use an update. So I started looking at, what can I get for a new GPU? Because I've got a GTX 950. That's right. It's not in the 1000 series. Those 1000 series chips came out over a year ago. So I thought, they must be coming down in price. Now, I'm still never going to be able to afford a GTX 1080. And a GTX 1080 is still more than the cost of an Xbox One X, which isn't really that surprising. When they came out, they were like $650. They're still about $650. Okay, I can kind of understand why the top-end one didn't come down in price. What about the 1070? What about the 1060? I think they've gone up in price. The 1070 is $500. And a lot of the PC and other gaming outlets have said the performance that we can expect from the Xbox One X is probably pretty comparable to a high-end PC with a GTX 1070 in it. That card is $500.
It's like getting the PC for free.
Yeah, it really is. Getting the PC, the operating system, the 4K UHD Blu-ray drive, a controller. Like, there's a lot of stuff you're getting for free when you look at it that way. The problem is all of these graphics cards are going up in price because of simple supply and demand. And it's not because of gamers. It's not like there's suddenly this big boom of PC gamers. Nope. It's cryptocurrency mining. These cards are really good at crunching the numbers for figuring out 3D graphics, but they're also really, really good at Bitcoin mining and all of the other cryptocurrencies and all that stuff. And so the people who are doing that are buying these cards up like crazy, and it's causing shortages and the prices on all of them to go up and up and up. That might make my decision for me right there. Because if I can't get a reasonable video card for a reasonable price, I'm not sure I'm going to do it.
Well, but I mean, the underlying assumption to your argument is that if you're not going to get the Xbox One, then you would be somehow upgrading your game system otherwise. And I guess the question that I would ask, and this is an easy question for me to answer, but probably harder for you. A year after buying the Xbox that you have now, which was new a year ago, do you really need to yet again upgrade your gaming system in 1 year.
Well, need it, it like that's a simple answer. No, of course not. No one needs to upgrade their Xbox.
Sure, but I mean, I guess, you know, is that an expense that you would consider for real? Or is it just that, you know, if I don't get it, I can get it whenever it happens to come down to some great price through a special or something like that?
And that's definitely something that I'm considering. But, and the other really big unknown is, what is Microsoft's plan for what's next? Because the way they've been talking, it sounds like they're not doing this console generation crap anymore. They're done with generations. They just want to keep revving the hardware. They've been talking for over a year about how they want console gaming to look more like PC gaming, where the developers just make their games in a way that they can scale based on the hardware. And if you want a machine that plays the game even better, you buy the latest version of the console. But if you haven't purchased a new one in a few years, it'll still play the same games, just they won't look as good. Just like my current gaming PC won't play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds as well as somebody who has a GTX 1080, but I can still play it. And it doesn't seem like Sony is planning to go that direction. It sounds like Sony still wants to go the console generation thing, and that there'll be a PlayStation 5 within the next, I don't know, it could be 2 years. We could be 2 years away from the next generation, because the Xbox One and the PS4 came out in 2013. That's almost 4 years ago. Next year will be 5 years. 5 years is about the time that, you know, we start looking at what's the next generation. So if you buy an Xbox One X in 2017, is there going to be some new generation basically obsoleting that console in 2 years? The console that you just dropped $500 for? That's a concern. But I do think that Microsoft is looking at this no more console generation thing. And if that's true, then I would feel pretty safe in purchasing an Xbox One S, X, geez, and knowing why did they name it this way, you know, and feeling confident that it's still going to be a useful system in a couple of years, 2, 3, 4 years. So I don't know. It's still a lot to ponder, but I wanted to toss those thoughts out to our listeners to get their feedback on what they're thinking and if they've even noticed what has been happening with the GPU market over the last few months.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And I hadn't really known about the mining aspect of it. So the fact that that's kind of impacting gaming and the price of gaming is kind of fascinating, actually.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. We have a little bit of mobile news this week. Not much, just that there's another new build of Windows 10 Mobile. This is build 15.226. 15.223, I think, was out just a couple of weeks ago. I don't think we even talked about it, if I'm remembering correctly. These are, for some reason, labeled as feature 2 builds, but there are really no new features in these builds. And for the most part, we're really just seeing fixes and minor improvements here. I guess the good news is that they're still doing this, right? Because you and I keep on talking about how, come on, let's just admit it, this is dead. But they are still, in fact, rolling out new builds. This is specifically to the Fast Ring. So this will eventually get out beside, you know, outside of the Windows Insider build distribution, but it's good that they haven't abandoned it completely. I would let people know that if they're already suffering from battery issues on their phones, like who isn't, frankly, then they may want to hold off on this one because there are some reports that this one introduces new battery drain issues onto some phones.
Shocking. That's pretty common. So I obviously haven't been following these mobile builds all that closely, but I thought they were like right in step with the PC builds. And we also got a new Insider Fast Ring preview build on PC in the last week, and it's version 16.226, but mobile is 15.226.
Okay, that's weird.
I don't know. Maybe no one cares because it's mobile, but I don't know. So anyway, while the mobile build had almost nothing worth talking about, the PC build again has lots of stuff rolling out. I mean, it was just like one build ago that they had a gigantic blog post that had all sorts of new features detailed. And we went through and laid out some of them. This one also has tons and tons of stuff. We're not going to get into most of them because most of them aren't super relevant to media and that sort of thing. But there's a lot in there. And if you're in the Insider preview ring, then you should go and check this out and see if it's got cool stuff that you're interested in. It probably does. There are a couple of things worth mentioning. We've talked about Windows Sonic that's available in the Creators update already. They've made some slight changes to how Windows Sonic works, and they've basically just made it even easier to enable Windows Sonic for headphones, which is, if in case you missed that episode a few episodes ago, Windows Sonic is basically a way to take normal stereo headphones and make it sound more like surround sound. And it's pretty awesome. And it's totally free, so there's no reason not to turn it on. It's cool.
You may remember that I talked about how it seemed overly complicated to, like, you know, configure and manage.
Right. It's not as complicated in the new Insider preview build. So that's good to see. They've also done a little bit of gaming stuff. They've added an Xbox networking section to the settings app. It lists some interesting things that you're used to seeing on your Xbox. Like, anybody who's ever used an Xbox has seen in the network section the all-important NAT type descriptor that tells you how open your network is to doing networking stuff like party chat and multiplayer and things like that. So you can see your NAT type, if it's strict or open or, you know, stuff like that now. It'll even show you latency numbers between your computer and the Xbox Live network, which is really cool. And some other common stuff that if you've used an Xbox, you probably are happy to see will be available on your Windows PC also. Another thing that I think is pretty awesome, I bet a lot of our listeners love all of the changes that Microsoft made to the Task Manager in Windows 10, including some of the performance stuff. They, of course, have all of the graphs for GPU and memory CPU and memory and disk and all that stuff. And the CPU one can show you all of your individual cores and all of that stuff. Well, in the new Insider preview ring, they've now added your GPU to this. So you can finally get performance graphs for what your GPU is doing too, which is a really nice addition for all of you gamers out there, or all of you cryptocurrency miners out there. Jerks. And then maybe perhaps the most important thing about version 16.226, it works on the Surface Pro. I made sure to read that before installing it this time to make sure that it would work.
So it doesn't end up like blowing away your Wi-Fi?
Exactly. Exactly. So I've got this version on my Surface Pro and can still use my Surface Pro. So anyway, there's that and a whole lot of other features, a bunch of Edge stuff and on-screen keyboard stuff. Definitely worth checking out the blog post, which will, of course, be linked in our show notes at thedigitalmediazone.com.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Richard, we always, the reason we do the show, it's not because we just like chatting about technology. It's because we like all of our listeners. We've got an awesome community of listeners, many of which we've gotten to meet at various events like CES and the Home Server Show meetup and stuff. And it really is all about the community. And what we want to do is expand that community. And the best way we can do that is for you guys, you listeners, to share Entertainment 2.0 with your friends and bring them into this community with us. You can tell your friends that they can find the show on iTunes. We're on Pocket Cast. We're on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play. Basically, if you've got a podcast app, we're probably there. Just give us a search, Entertainment 2.0. And if you tell your friends, we would be very, very appreciative. So thank you for doing that. And let's move on with our last bit of news for the night. This is an interesting one for, especially for you cord cutters, especially you soccer loving cord cutters. NBC Universal, basically the parent company behind NBC Sports, is going to be rolling out a new subscription service for Premier League Soccer. This is basically the biggest soccer, in terms of popularity, the biggest soccer league, or football as it's known in every other country around the world, in the world. It's, you know, Manchester United and all those guys, they all play in the Premier League. And NBC Sports airs a lot of the Premier League games, but not all of them. Well, now you're going to be able to subscribe straight through NBC Sports and through NBC Universal to a Premier League streaming service without a cable subscription. So if you're a huge soccer fan and you want to watch 130 Premier League games, you can without cable. If you're just paying for cable to watch soccer, you don't have to anymore. For $50, you'll have access to the entire season, all, or I don't know if that's all, but that's probably most of the soccer games available to you through the app. It sounds like it's just through the NBC Sports app, which is available on everything, basically, including the Xbox One, including Windows 10. I know it's on Android. It's probably on all of your Apple stuff too, Richard, but you don't pay attention to sports, so you don't know. this is a great deal. This is how I watch hockey, guys. The NHL does the same sort of thing, although it's not through some TV service. It's just their own app, and it's a lot more money, but there's way more hockey games. So $50 seems like a pretty nice price to get the entire Premier League season without having to pay for a cable subscription. So that starts in August, and again, it's only $50. So no reason, like that's pretty easy. That's a pretty easy choice, I think, if you're a soccer fan.
Do you watch the soccer?
Only during the Olympics. Like, I like soccer, but I barely have time for the sports that I really, really love.
Yeah, it's so funny because I watch hockey only during the Olympics. Like, that's the one thing that I watch religiously during the Winter Olympics is the hockey.
Maybe you should watch the hockey during the NHL season too, because it's every bit as good, especially during the playoffs. And I can give you a team to root for.
Oh, don't even give me that. Don't even give me that.
Don't root for that team that's local to you. Do not root for those guys. Not cool. All right, Richard. Well, that's it for our news. What is going on in your entertainment center? Because you teased something at the top of the show that we need to talk about.
I did. I have a new device that is part, calling it part of my entertainment system might be a little bit of a stretch. Although, I would have to admit, this would make a pretty good kitchen computer controller kind of thing if I still wanted that sort of thing. I gave into a Woot deal and bought a Surface 3 tablet last week for all of, like, I think it was $313 or something like that. It was a pretty good deal for this. This is the LTE version of the tablet, so it comes unlocked.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't realize it's the LTE version.
Yep.
Wow.
So comes unlocked. It has the ability to enable AT&T on it, or you can put your own card in it. And I'm pretty excited about this. I bought it because I needed a better Windows test device than I have now. I've been basically virtualizing for testing on Windows. And this gives me a real device to test on for work and for stuff that you and I might be doing. And so what I quickly came to realize was just how much I hate Windows 10 on tablets.
Oh, man.
And so getting a little bit nostalgic, I pulled out my compact little ThinkPad 8-inch tablet. Man, I loved that thing. It's still running Windows 8.1. It can't do anything because nobody's still supporting those applications with services anymore. But I really don't like Windows 10 on a tablet. And I have it designed to or set to switch between the touch mode and standard PC mode or desktop mode, whatever they're calling it. And even that is just such, it's such a farce because it's so obvious that all they're doing is they're forcing the app to be full screen. And every once in a while, you get to a point where you can call up something that doesn't appear to work. And you know why? The reason it doesn't appear to work is because it opened a plain old regular Win32 window or dialogue, and it's stuck behind your full screen window. And I'm kind of fed up with it. So I'm glad I have it as a testing device. It's been fun to play with over the last week, and I'm sure I'm going to be using it. But man, I'm still convinced that this operating system that they have now, Windows 10, is great on desktops, and I just do not like it for touch. I just think it's not well designed for touch. So, okay, those are my generous opinions. Not generous to Microsoft, generous in size. So the other thing that I bought for this was a dock, and we actually have a post about this that I put up at your behest, Josh, because someone on Twitter, and I forget who it was, I apologize, but I gave them credit in our post, let us know that the dock for the Surface 3, not the Surface Pro 3, the Surface 3 from Microsoft was available on Amazon for $20.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$20. This thing cost $200 when it came out. So, I mean, I just kind of had to buy one because, right? So, I did, and it's a nice dock. I like it. I'm impressed by it. I have my tablet set up in it behind me right now. $200 for this dock? Microsoft, are you kidding? Like, what were they thinking? I am dying to know if anybody in our audience got suckered into paying $200 for this dock. This is not a $200 piece of equipment. I no. can't imagine how angry I would be if I had paid full price for this. It's a nice dock. It's not $200 nice.
Like, it's worth more than the $20 that you paid for it.
Absolutely.
But it's nowhere near $200.
Absolutely. Yeah, seriously. I don't know what's been going on. Okay, so while I did have the device, I tried seeing, is it possible as an entertainment device to use this and share my screen with any of my stuff in my home? Or, you know, maybe cast something or toss a video from, you know, whatever it is that you do on Windows to make that work. A Miracast something, I think it's called. I can't. I can send something to my TV if my TV is on and waiting for something to come at it. But I can't send anything to my receiver, even though my receiver shows up as a device when I search for devices for my Windows PC from the tablet. I can't actually share anything. It doesn't come up as a screen that I can share to. It doesn't come up as a sharing target. It is not available. It's a device. It's right there, but it's not anything that I can actually use as another monitor. And I don't get that. I also wondered, you know, would I be able to share stuff to the Xbox? I can't remember if this is supposed to be possible or not. I remember we talked about how it was ludicrous that when Miracast came out, it wasn't possible. Is it supposed to be possible now?
There's an app for the Xbox One that is essentially the receiver part of that.
Oh, screw that. But that's the same problem that, right? I have with my my receiver. Or my TV. I have to have it in the mode to send stuff to it. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
No, makes no sense. Makes no sense. So overall, I'm kind of frustrated by that. And I think that, again, that's a big miss from Microsoft to be a real player in the mobile device space. That's something they need to fix. That needs to be easier. All right, enough with my rant. I have been watching some TV. I have continued to watch Nashville. I missed the most recent episode of Orphan Black, and I went to go watch it last night. I'm like, you know what? This is too heavy. I don't want to be watching this because this season is very heavy. It's good, but it's heavy. I got back to watching or trying to get through sounds like I'm not enjoying it. I am Gilmore Girls. And so I'm near the end of season 4 on that right now. Fargo season 3 ended. And so I'm fully up to date on that and finished that. That was really weird, but very good season. I enjoyed it again. Hope we're getting a fourth. I haven't actually checked to see if we are or not. I finished Daredevil season 2. And so after finishing that, I went back to Luke Cage because I got about halfway through that and stopped. So back to that again, enjoying that. That, I think, is really good. Luke Cage has a lot of interesting character stuff going on. And he, just as a character, is very interesting. So I think that has a lot of potential. And
didn't most other people say that Luke Cage wasn't very good?
Are you thinking of Iron Fist?
Oh, yes, I am. You're right.
Yeah, the more recent one is Iron Fist, and I think it's generally accepted that it sucked. All right. So another thing that I watched, I actually recorded it on my TiVo so that I could watch it later, and that is the TV premiere of Brian Brushwood's show that's been on YouTube now for, I think, literally years, called Scam School. And they've taken that into a TV production half-hour show, and it premiered last Saturday morning on the Science Channel. And it's basically about all of these tricks that you can do, and basically, like, you know, magic tricks that you can do to impress your friends or impress someone at a bar or start a conversation or whatever. If you like Brian and you like his humor and you're into that kind of stuff, I think this show is a huge surprise. I think it is really, really entertaining. I really recorded it because I like Brian and I wanted to support him. And I know the TiVo numbers contribute to what the networks are looking at as to how long they're going to carry your show. So I was more than pleasantly surprised to enjoy this as much as I did. And I would encourage people to check it out if they're interested. It's at a terrible time. They're obviously just experimenting with it. It's at, like, I don't know, Saturday at 7 in the morning or something like that. So the only way you're really going to watch this, in all likelihood, particularly because of the subject matter, this is not a kids show, is if you record it and watch it later at your convenience. Broadchurch and Big Brother start up any day now, so I'm going to be watching those. I think Big Brother, in fact, will have started by the time that anybody is listening to this, so I just assume I'm already sucked into that stupidity. And this past weekend, we had uncle duty this weekend and had the niece and nephew over and watched a Disney movie that I can't even tell you if I ever saw as a kid because it predates me. We watched...
What?
I know. A Disney movie I haven't seen. We watched Sword and the Stone, and it has been restored in a Blu-ray release. That's why I bought it, because it was available in Blu-ray now and had been fully restored. It looks fantastic. It sounds good. And it's a really cute story without a lot of the kind of heavy social messages that a lot of the newer Disney movies have. I really enjoyed it. And the kids who didn't want to watch it totally loved it. Like, at the end of it, our nephew was like, that was the greatest movie. I love that. I want to watch it again. Can we watch it again now? No, no. So I thought that was cool.
So I bet the only people that know this fact about me are my sisters and my mom. This was my first Disney movie. When I was a kid, I don't remember how old I was, probably 6 or 7 or something like that. My parents for Christmas got my sister The Jungle Book and got me The Sword and the Stone
on
VHS. And I watched the ever-living crap out of The Sword and the Stone.
Very cool. Yeah, this is a really nice movie. It's 54 years old. So, it's been around.
It's hard finding a movie that's older than you, Richard.
Ouch.
Yeah, I suppose I could have left that one out. Oh, well, can't take it back now.
All right, how about you? I know that you planned on going out and seeing something this past week.
But you also know that quite frequently my plans get changed. And fortunately, that was not the case this week. Jen and I went and saw Wonder Woman last weekend, and we loved it. It was really, really good. When this movie got first announced, I was like, DC Comics, Like, I'm not into DC Comics to start. I never have been. And all of the DC movies have been garbage.
Yeah, but no, but A, Wonder Woman, B, Chris Pine. I mean,
well, okay, sure. But I'm going to argue with A, Wonder Woman, because whenever I think of Wonder Woman, I think of the woman riding around in the invisible jet and how freaking stupid that is.
Okay, but that was cool too when I was a kid. But really, when you think about Wonder Woman in the current universe, arguably, she saved Batman versus Superman.
I wouldn't know because I didn't see it.
Okay.
Because that movie looked like garbage. And most of the reviewers said that it was. So I didn't even realize she was in that movie. But she's freaking awesome in her own movie. It was really, really, really good. One of the reasons we went and saw it, like, we were interested in seeing it regardless, but we've got a 9-year-old daughter. She's been really interested in seeing it, but it's rated PG-13. So we were like, let's go and see it and see if it's something that would be okay for her to see it. In our opinion, for our daughter, we think it's okay. We're going to take her to see it. I'm not going to make that decision for your kids, obviously. And I don't mean Richard because he doesn't have kids, but you, the listener, your kids, you'll want to see it on your own and make that decision for yourself. But not really a whole lot of questionable stuff in here. A lot of really great, super strong female lead. She did awesome. And, you know, there's what's the main co-star's name? What's his name?
Chris Pine.
He does a great job. He's not star. It's not like they're both the leads. She is the lead.
Right.
Wonder Woman is the lead.
Right.
It is not her and him. It is her. And he plays a supporting role.
And do
and
you
it's
like?
It's great.
I'd never heard of Gal Gadot before this film. Had you?
What's
her name?
Her name.
I'd never heard of her before this film.
No, neither had I. Has she been in anything?
I have no idea. But everybody says she's amazing in it.
She is. She did a phenomenal job.
Very cool. And to give people some perspective, if they don't already know this. This is already the third top film of the year. And
oh, wow.
Right now, Beauty and the Beast and Guardians of the Galaxy are the only two that are above it for domestic. Worldwide, it's made double that. I mean, worldwide, this thing is already at like 650 million.
Yeah, this we will be buying for sure. It was a great movie.
Cool. I'm glad to hear that. I really want to see this in the theater. I don't know how I'm going to make that happen, but I would very much like to see this on the big screen.
You need to find a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that's what's going on in my entertainment center. If you want to know what's going on in our entertainment center over the coming days, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer than usual. See, we record on Tuesday nights, and in our fair country, the United States of America, next Tuesday, it's holiday. It is our nation's independence. It is the 4th of July. We will be celebrating the holiday instead of recording a podcast. So we will be off next week, but we will, of course, be back in 2 weeks. And you can find our show live using Mixer at our website, thedigitalmediazone.com. We'll probably be back that following Tuesday, probably around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. But the best way to know for sure is to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Richard Gunther. Nope, I'm not. He is. He's Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. Wow. And the website is at DigiMediaZone. Can you tell I'm tired? Did I mention I'm really, really tired? At DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/thedmz. And Richard, help me out here. You've got another podcast. It's really great. What's going on with Home On?
Help you out because you forgot the name? Oh, okay. Home On. Yeah.
Help me out because my brain is dead.
Home On is currently playing the IKEA episode with Bjorn Block. And, you know, I know I keep saying this in anticipation of something that is going to outseat our CES episode as the most popular episode to date. This one did it. Within 1 week's time, this had more downloads than any other episode that we've had out before. So very excited about that. I think this is a really good conversation with him. And, you know, one of our new contributors, Doug Krug, brought to my attention that he believes Bjorn gave us an exclusive in this interview that hasn't been anywhere else. And that is regarding how users are going to get HomeKit onto their toilet-free lighting system from IKEA if they've already bought it. And, well, you're going to have to listen if you want to find out how.
Cool. Check that out over at the DMZ for sure. And then come back in 2 weeks for the live show, because that's going to do it for episode 413. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.